These remarks are being provided so that you have time to adjust the volume and your earphones. Please make sure that you can hear clearly and that the earphones are as comfortable as possible. The test is recorded at 120 words per minute, which is the same speed that you are now hearing. If you are not ready, please advise the test administrator immediately, because you may not stop the recording once the test starts. The test text is a lawyer's closing argument to the jury. In a moment, you will hear the words, "Please get ready." The test will begin in 5 seconds. After that, there will be silence for 5 seconds. Begin interpreting as soon as the recording resumes. Please get ready. The test will begin in 5 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you now have the very narrow responsibility of deciding the case before you from all the evidence that's been admitted. You must examine whether or not the government has proven the charge that it has leveled against my client. This is not a question of judging my client's character. His conduct merits reproof, but we're not here to determine whether or not we want him as a neighbor. Instead, we're here to determine whether or not we are to take away his freedom. The criminal indictment charges that the defendant did knowingly and intentionally distribute crack cocaine. Now, based on the testimony of law enforcement and every single other witness in this case, there is no evidence that Joaquin Morales ever delivered, distributed, sold, gave, or in any other way transferred drugs to anyone else. The government agrees that he is a crack cocaine addict. Defense Exhibit number 4 is records, reports from experts in which the diagnosis is cocaine dependency. The government's position, however, is that he can turn it on and off whenever he wants to. The government wants to persist in telling you the reason for his trip down to Nashville was to buy drugs and bring them back to Centerville to distribute them. Testimony has shown that he went to Nashville and visited with his family. His mother wasn't happy or proud about testifying about her crack-addicted son, but she came in and testified that she met him in Nashville because his first cousin had died of AIDS. He was close to his cousin, and his cousin never told him that he had a life-threatening disease. He's angry. He's upset. The physical evidence that you have is a very small quantity of crack cocaine, 2.4 grams. A minuscule amount, consistent with using crack cocaine. You should consider that in determining whether or not it was his intent to deliver or sell it, or if it was his intent to use it. The defendant testified about things that one would not be proud of: robbing people, burglarizing houses, and having homosexual sex to get money, to get crack. The counselor describes him as a client who appears to be open and truthful. There has been nothing here that has been held back. The government doesn't even go through the effort to see whether or not he has instruments of dealing in his house, or if there's additional crack cocaine there. They can't even get a warrant to go find that out. They wouldn't even lift a finger to bring in evidence of crack cocaine dealing, such as scales, beepers, pagers, whatever those things are. They came up with experts. Experts in pursuing crack dealers. When my client was arrested, he didn't have a dime. He didn't have identification. He didn't even have a wallet. Zip. Another expert said, you need a razor to break it up, to put it in different bags to measure it properly. He doesn't have the ability to break it down, or at least he doesn't have the instruments to break it down and put it in bags for sale. Don't you need money to get drugs to resell? A drug dealer would have money. And wouldn't a person who is a crack addict, a deadbeat, nearly a street person, be a person without money? Wouldn't that be my client? The 32-year-old man bumming 50 bucks from his own mother to go out and get another $20 rock of cocaine to smoke. They're the experts, so they can tell you where people are dealing and who they are. Yet they can't put one single person on the stand who can testify that the defendant gave them even 1/1000th of a gram of crack cocaine. Not one person. If he's a dealer, then they have to be able to produce for you something to indicate that he has a customer, like lists of people who owe him money for drugs that he's given them, and telephone numbers. He doesn't have a phone. He doesn't have a car. Isn't it logical that people get into drug dealing to make money? He testified as to why he was on this trip. He answered the questions during a vigorous cross-examination. He said that he lied to the police because he was afraid of being carted off to jail. And he was, because he had crack cocaine on him. His testimony is credible, and it fits with what he was doing at the time. The judge will instruct you that if you find that there's no proof that the defendant intended to deliver crack cocaine, then you can find him guilty of a lesser included offense, simple possession. The evidence in this case is way short of proving crack dealing. In fact, the proof is that he is a crack addict. It's reprehensible, it's inexcusable, but he had it for his own use. Do your duty and follow the instructions of this court. Find my client not guilty. Thank you. This concludes this portion of the examination. Please press the pause button on your CD player now.